Today marks the Epiphany of our Lord. The psalm of the day is Psalm 72, verses 1 through 15. The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 to 6. The epistle is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, and the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Pastor Magruder is basing today's sermon on the Old Testament reading from Isaiah and on the Gospel from St. Matthew. He will read those for you now for his sermon titled, Christ for All.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the prophet Isaiah, the 60th chapter. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 2nd chapter. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. In January of 2008, I was given a 4-day pass to leave my duty station in Afghanistan during a deployment there to travel to Qatar. 4 days away from war, 4 days away in warmth and sunshine. My assistant bodyguard went with me. He was excited about getting to Qatar because he said, he wanted to take a camel ride as some other service members had done about a week earlier. Have you ever seen a camel up close? I mean, they're ugly. They're not cute and cuddly. They're not majestic. They walk and move awkwardly. They have those giant humps. Their heads are too small for their bodies. They grunt funny. They're temperamental and stubborn, and they'll spit on you. God made a lot of unusual creatures, and he loves them all. But camels? Well, camels are a vital part of the Epiphany story. None of the gifts given to Jesus would have arrived there without them. I'd suggest that camels are really the perfect image of Epiphany in this way. Epiphany is the revealing of this child, Jesus, as God in the flesh, come to save the world, come to save camels. Not camels, the animals, though they are part of God's redeemed creation, but people who are like camels. The Christ came for people who are not the most beautiful, who are awkward, disfigured by sin, stubborn, ugly, but who God loves and sent his Son to die for. And the Bible is full of them, full of human camels. There was Paul. He considered himself a camel. He called himself untimely born, the least of all the saints. He was weak and sickly. Maybe he had bad eyesight and often in prison. Yet God shone the light of his grace upon Paul and used him as a light to the Gentiles. And speaking of Gentiles, they were considered camels by Israel, who really didn't want them and their false worship and their strange customs. Gentiles, like the wise men. In our day, wise men are often eccentric or considered weird. Maybe the ones who came to see Jesus were too, and mocked and taunted for following a star, wasting their money on a foreign king, falling on their knees before a child who himself was considered to be a camel by many. Jesus himself in his ministry was taunted as an illegitimate child, or being out of his mind. The prophet Isaiah tells us that this coming Christ would have nothing majestic or beautiful about his appearance. And then, especially after he was flogged and crucified, people just wanted to look away. He didn't spit, but was spit upon. He didn't have a hump on his back, but carried a cross on his back. Which then brings us to, well, us. Maybe you consider yourself a camel. Maybe we are a congregation of camels, people a bit flawed, not strong, wise, outstanding compared to others in this world, a little quirky, not beautiful to the world, but like real camels, beautiful to God and made beautiful by God, washed, cleaned, and recreated in the waters of baptism to be his beautiful, radiant bride. Maybe you are someone no one else would choose, but God did, and he shined the light of his love upon you. And there are a lot of camels out there in this world, people ugly inside and out, people who are disfigured by sin, people the world doesn't want and has no use for, but God does. And Epiphany is God rolling out the welcome mat for them and for us, for all to come and see him in the flesh, the body and blood he would sacrifice and lay down for the sins of the world, to shine the light of his love upon a dark and loveless world, this God who loves camels. And that's really what Epiphany is all about, what Jesus is all about, making the goodness and love of God known to this world, the goodness and love of God in the flesh and blood of Jesus. Sometimes that happens in an unusual, even spectacular way, like the wise men and the star that guided them. Is stuff like that still happening today? I don't know, maybe. But even if God is working that way, in unusual ways today, to bring his Son to people and people to his Son, don't despise the regular, normal, ordinary ways he has given us, which are far more common than the unusual or the extraordinary. It's a friend talking to a friend, a mother teaching her child to pray, a father bringing his family to church, being there at crisis moments or times of fear and uncertainty to bring the grace and love and peace of God to people who feel like camels, and maybe they are, but we have a God who loves them. And so he sent the Apostle Paul, and he establishes churches today to shine the light of this truth, to be a star and lead others to Jesus, to be a point of stability and truth in a world where things are constantly changing and truth is relative, to proclaim an unchanging God and his unfailing love. God came in the flesh so that the sin which deforms us would go. He washes us clean and raises us to a new life in baptism. He forgives our sins, not for us to get away with it, but to get us out of it and to get it out of us. And then he feeds us with his own body and blood, the food of immortality, and all this to make us sons and daughters of God. Maybe camels still in the eyes of the world, but not in the eyes of God. In his eyes, we are children, dearly loved, with a place in his heart and a place in his kingdom. Did the wise men live long enough to hear all that news? That the child for whom they fell and worshipped, and to whom they gave their gifts, this king of the Jews, that he had been crucified by the Romans and raised again on the third day? We don't know. These wise men disappear from the scene as quickly as they came into it. But we know. We know that this child whose little fingers could barely wrap around the grown-up fingers of the wise men would one day use those fingers to touch and heal eyes that were blind, ears that were deaf, bodies that were leprous, raise the dead, and finally be nailed to a cross to redeem this world. That was Paul's message to the Gentiles, and it is the church's message to the world, that the goodness and love of God was shown in the birth of his child, who is the Son of God, but even more was shown in the death and resurrection of this man, that every man, woman, and child who dies might rise to eternal life in him. He died for all and welcomed all, and still does. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Please join with us as we confess our holy Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who, with the Father and the Son, together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Christian, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We join in the prayer the Lord has taught us, the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Collect for the Epiphany of Our Lord.
Let us pray. O God, by the leading of a star, you've made known your only begotten Son to the Gentiles. Lead us, who know you by faith, to enjoy in heaven the fullness of your divine presence. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Go in peace and serve the Lord.